Joined by contributor Larry Nightengast on The Green this week to talk about the state education funding lawsuit. It was settled last fall. There has been work done to move to complete the requirements of that settlement. And Larry takes a closer look at that this week, exactly where things stand and where things may be going as the state looks to address education funding here in Delaware. Larry, thanks for being with us on The Green.
I'm glad to be here, Tom.
So what a difference one school year makes. As you note in your piece, before the school year started, there was still a possibility the state education funding lawsuit could see its day in court. Now it's settled. In the end, does this wind up being kind of a surprising turn of events that we've kind of made this leap forward?
Well, last August and September, you would have had to consider this surprising, especially the settlement on the state's portion of the lawsuit. I mean, even the people who were closest to the case were expecting the suit to go to trial. But a couple of things changed the calculus. One was the COVID-19 pandemic, which seemed to have had an impact on every aspect of our lives in the past year. And as the school year began with remote and hybrid instruction, it was no longer possible to ignore the reality that the students with the greatest needs, the low-income kids and the English learners, were the ones who faced the greatest difficulty receiving their lessons. Now, on top of that, at the time, you remember, there was a lot of pessimism about how the pandemic would mean less tax revenue flowing to governments and to school districts. And that fear may have nudged the plaintiffs in the case to accept a little bit less than they might have wanted, rather than risk going to trial and perhaps getting nothing at all. Now, on the other hand, the victories by progressives in the Democratic primaries in September may have led Governor Carney to believe that the incoming lawmakers would be pushing even harder for more education spending. So when you consider the changing dynamics here, it kind of made sense for both sides to look towards a settlement, and that's eventually what would occur.
So let's recap where things stand right now, starting out at the county level and reassessment. Where is that piece of the lawsuit settlement's headed?
The settlement of the county portion of the suit took longer than the state portion, but it was actually a little bit less surprising. Last spring, Vice Chancellor J. Travis Laster issued a 149-page opinion that pretty much shredded the county's arguments in the case. And the Vice Chancellor ruled that the current real estate assessment system violated the state's constitution because the assessments were so old, some of them dating back to the 1970s, that they were an unreliable measure of current property values. The judge put off imposing a remedy, but still, the solution was pretty obvious. The counties would have to conduct property reassessments. It was just a matter of coming up with the how and the when. And between January and April of this year, the counties did agree to conduct the reassessments, and they should be done in time to be used on the tax bills that will be sent out 3 years from now.
And the settlement of the state portion of the suit requires the legislature to carry out what the governor agreed to do. Where is the General Assembly in that process?
Well, the General Assembly has passed Senate Bill 86, and this is legislation that establishes opportunity funds, which are special funding dedicated for use on programs for low-income students and English learners. And Governor Carney is expected to sign that legislation sometime this month. Now, there are other pieces of legislation that will be required before the settlement is totally completed, and increases in funding for several programs as well. But Senate Bill 86 is the piece that's essential for this year, and the other pieces of legislation can be acted on next year and the year that follows that.
Now, with a healthy budget surplus for the state, it appears the call by some lawmakers and advocates to do more than just the basics of this settlement is gaining some traction. Where is the state going above and beyond at this point in terms of spending on education funding?
Well, I think in this context, you've got to look at really two different categories of spending and legislating. First, there is this idea of accelerating implementation of the terms of the settlement, getting it done faster. And then there are also recommendations from the state's commission, Reading Consortium on Education Equity. Now, as for acceleration, a key piece of legislation required by the settlement would change the funding structure for special education students in kindergarten through third grade. So it would increase the funding for students in those levels to match the levels that are now provided for grades 4 through 12. Now, the settlement doesn't require this piece to be enacted until 2 years from now, but legislation to start sooner has already been introduced by Representative Kim Williams. Now, it might not come to a vote this year, but it is certainly going to be at the top of the to-do lists for next year. Now, as for the Reading Consortium, they are pushing for legislation to create mental health units in elementary schools, and that legislation has also been introduced this session. Also, Senator Tizzy Lockman, who is the co-chair of the Reading Consortium and a member of the Joint Finance Committee, has gotten the JFC to add $10 million to the next state budget to pay for some new and expanded programs that the consortium supports. So there's action there, both related directly to the settlement and to the Reading Consortium, both of which are going to tend to push things forward. It's not clear about how quickly, but it is going to move things forward.
There's also a resolution asking the Department of Education to create a report by September 1st on a variety of equity-related funding issues. What's the goal of this resolution?
Well, the measure, House Concurrent Resolution 24, is significant because it represents the first step toward this other important goal for education reformers, modernizing the state system of school funding. And now, this proposal has a strong chance of passage this year because about 25 legislators have already signed on as co-sponsors. Now, the state's unit system of funding has been in place for about 80 years. And meanwhile, and actually more certainly in the last 10 years or so, more and more states have been revising their funding systems to make them more flexible and more responsive to meeting the needs of children who require the most support. The resolution, House Concurrent Resolution 24, calls on the Department of Education to work with other key state agencies to prepare a report, and this is by September, that would include some very interesting financial metrics, like how much money per pupil districts collect from property taxes, how much money per pupil each district receives from the state, with per pupil breakdowns by district for some of these categories that we've been talking about today, the low-income special education students and English learners. Now, that's a lot of number crunching to have to get done in about 3 months, but it will create a very helpful database to start a broader analysis of the school funding system and how to improve it.
Now, when we asked Governor Carney about that resolution and doing more beyond the settlement recently, he focused more on student achievement and making sure money spent is producing results. Is this kind of the next phase on this issue, those who want to do more and do it right now, and those looking to take this kind of more wait-and-see approach before taking further steps?
Well, I think we would all agree with the governor that improving student achievement is important. But the fact is, we already have mechanisms that would help show, although not necessarily in the clearest ways possible, the relationships between spending and student achievement. Now, specifically, let's refer to the reporting requirements that are listed in Senate Bill 148, which was signed by Governor Carney 3 years ago. Let's keep in mind also that every other state, almost every other state, including our neighbors, provides more targeted funding for students with the greatest needs than Delaware does. Reform advocates cite research showing that this funding has a positive impact. So, if anyone in Delaware wants to see whether additional targeted funding works, All they have to do is look across the state lines. And if they want to see what the impact of limited targeted spending is in Delaware, the comparisons can be made by analyzing the data that's required by Senate Bill 148. So, the information here, if you want to talk about whether we should wait or whether we should do this now, the data is already out there and it's available.
Are there some other pieces of the settlement that we haven't touched on? Is there any sense where they stand at this juncture?
Well, I'd say, yeah, there are two here that are worth mentioning at this point. First of all, the settlement called for creating an ombudsman program, contracting with one or more independent organizations to work as independent advocates on behalf of students and their families if they encounter what they think is unfair treatment in discipline or in access to school programs. Now, the Department of Education, a couple of months back, issued a request for proposals, and the responses to those proposals were due back earlier this week. And so as a result, the department's in a position where it could award a contract as early as next month to whoever would provide these ombudsperson services. Secondly, the Department of Education is working on a request for proposals that would lead to hiring a contractor to conduct what the settlement calls an independent funding assessment and deliver that report to the governor, to legislative leaders, and to the Department of Education by January of 2024. Now, that report, which would have to be done by an organization that is independent of the state, would analyze state education funding procedures and make recommendations to improve equity and efficiency. Typically, there's a turnaround time of a couple of months on proposals like this, so I would expect that the contract here would be awarded probably sometime in the fall.
So circling back to where we started, when the school year started, there was pessimism about the education lawsuit, where it stood, what was next. Now there's a settlement and some movement. In talking to the people you did for this story, is there a sense of how big a step this past year has been, how much progress is actually being made, and conversely, how much remains undone or unanswered?
Yes. I think back in October, when the state portion of the settlement was announced, I tried to summarize it all in one sentence. And I guess I can repeat now what I wrote then, because it still holds true today. I said, it's a big deal, but it's not a done deal. And it's not the whole deal either. And that really says where we are here in June of 2021. See, right now we are seeing this convergence of these two key issues, equity in education for historically disadvantaged students, and this desire to reform an 80-year-old funding mechanism that many say is no longer responsive to a school system that is far more diverse and far more complex than it was in the 1940s and 1950s when that funding system was created. Now, these issues, of course, do overlap. And right now, with the settlement and all that we're seeing the indications are that these required legislative actions are coming together. We're seeing the resolution of the equity issue, but we're probably, 4 or 5 years down the road from actually writing the final chapter here. Tying all the pieces together is still going to be a slow and careful process. Now, as for finance reform, that's been talked about for 15 years or so. But, this time it looks like it's finally much more likely that the talk is going to lead to real action. Now, even so, this issue is incredibly complex, and the current system is embedded in the DNA of school finance officers throughout the state. So, going forward, observers may feel that they're watching finance reform action advance in slow motion, maybe even in freeze frame mode. But at least it's getting started.
Larry Nightingale, as always, we appreciate your reporting on this topic, sticking with it for us. Thanks for being with us on The Green this week.
Thank you very much for having me.